Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. And in the studio today with me again is Laverne Kreider.
It's good to be here, Larry.
It is great. You know, we've been having all these episodes on different tests of leadership. They're really tests of life.
You know, you
don't have to be a leader, really. They're tests of life. I just want to read a scripture here just to bring it all together, and then we'll get into the test for today we want to talk about. That is James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, of course, and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And then perseverance must finish his work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then he says, if you need wisdom, ask God. And obviously we need wisdom to pass these many tests. So we all go through tests in life, and it's just to make us more like Jesus. It's to help us improve in our life and leadership, and whatever role of leadership, whether it's in our home, whether it's in a factory, or whether it's in, you name it, running a corporation, or just raising our family, or whatever it is.
And it's a journey, isn't it?
It is.
You know, it's not so much like, oh, if we flunk this test, you know, God's up there with a big stick. It's no, it's a journey. And we continue growing and learning as we go along.
And what I love is God said, if you need wisdom, of course we do. Yes. Just ask me. I'll give it to you.
Yes.
I'm not going to scold you. You know, you get wisdom for this. So as we're walking through this test today, the test of love, the love test, we want to keep in mind that it is a journey. God is with us, and he will help us take the steps we need to take. We're all at different places on the journey. So let's talk about the love test. Most people and leaders are familiar with the love chapter in the Bible, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's interesting, the Greek word for love is the word agape, which really means giving with no expectancy of return. And there's different kinds of love, and I'll cover that a bit later in this podcast, but that's what we're talking about. God so loved the world, he agape the world, he gave, expecting really nothing back. And so that's what this whole test is about. God gives us opportunities to love people. And do we love them for selfish motives, or do we love them because God loved us first? And I remember one church leader had to repent one time because he realized that he was spending time with people in the church who were really rich. One guy had a yacht, so he get time in the yacht rather than I love people because Jesus loves people. And really, God will test our hearts. God will bring opportunities into our lives to see whether or not we are really passing this test or not.
Well, you know, almost every time that Jesus healed people in the scriptures, it said, and he had compassion on them.
Right.
And as you said, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
Really, this is to me one of the greatest tests because everything comes from this place of love.
True.
You know, and that we would know that God's intentions to us are always love.
Mm-hmm.
They're always, even in times of discipline, even times we have loss or disappointment or, you know, we're unknown future. We might not understand what's happening or understand his hand, but we can always know and be assured that his intentions toward us are love. When you know that, then it brings us into an incredible place of security. It brings just all the other tests that we go through when we know that his intentions toward us are love and that we receive that love into our hearts.
Yeah, so many of these tests we're talking about, 21 tests of leadership from a book I'd written, and we're sharing fresh insights that God's given us on that. And so many other tests are connected to this test of love. Now, love and compassion go hand in hand. Compassion compels us to give and not be upset if something is not given back to us. I want to read a scripture from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not like pity, but, you know, because compassion gives people a path out of their pain. We're just pity people. It's having compassion for them, having love for them, helping them get out of their pain.
You know, God desires, and as you said, that this agape love is love without expectancy of return.
Right.
So it comes from the place of, really, you mentioned it, 1 Corinthians 13. It says love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I mean, that is powerful.
It is. It's right out of the scripture.
Right. But, you know, it's not it's not a natural love. This love is the love of the Father through us. And and loving unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. You often say, he loves us because he loves us because he loves us.
He just does.
He doesn't withhold his love when we go through hard times or when we are a bit faithless. He doesn't withhold his love. And sometimes I found in my life, I've done that already, where I kind of withheld my love or I kind of postured myself with a reserved love because the people didn't perform the way I thought.
Right.
Even my children, when they're little, sometimes, you know, you just almost, the Lord spoke to me about that, that I, regardless of whether someone performs
the way we want.
Is we love from the Father's heart, which is an unconditional love.
Yeah.
That doesn't, we don't set boundaries. Of course we do, and we confront, but our love needs to come from this credible place of the unconditional love of the Father.
So good. You know, when you read that scripture from 1 Corinthians 13, your love is patient, love is kind, doesn't envy, on and on. Sometimes I found, if I put my name in there, rather than saying love is patient, I'll say Larry is patient.
Because
Christ lives in Larry, and lives in Laverne, lives in all of us. And if I put my name in there, it made all the difference. Larry is not angered, easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. And, you know, when Jesus walked with his disciples on the earth, he taught them the golden rule. Basically, do to others whatever you want them to do to you. You know, that's Matthew 7. But before he left, he told them, he's giving them a new commandment.
Yes.
It's not just loving because the way we want people to love us, but he said this. He said, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's in John chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. But in John 17, I love this.
I do too.
He was praying to the Father and he said, Father, you know this love you and I have together, Father, you know, Jesus and the Father. He said, let it be in them.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is powerful. I have always just really been so encouraged by that, to think that that's what Jesus prayed, that the love the Father and him had, it's in us.
Exactly.
And that's what he prayed, and it's going forth if we receive it, you know, and receive the Father's love in our heart.
It takes us to a whole new level. I mean, understanding.
Yes. It's a new level,
It is, and knowing Christ in us, you know, we say that all the time because that's so powerful. It's not I, but Christ living in me. And it gives us the grace, the power to express this kind of love, and takes us, again, as I said before, to another level. So at this point, it's not what's important for me. It's what is best for the person that I'm loving, whether it's people on our team. Well, in leadership, you lead teams.
Yes.
And it's not about what I want. It's what God's saying through the team, because I'm caring not only caring about getting the wisdom of God, but I'm caring about every person on that team, how this affects them. You know, people say we shouldn't follow our feelings, and we shouldn't. However, feelings are important. And really loving people is caring about how they feel.
And people can sense that, can't
they? You better believe it.
I remember when we had a house church with kids, a lot of kids from non-Christian backgrounds. And and they would, after they became a Christian, and this was when their early stages, they would say, we'd often feel that Christians that would come into the restaurant if they worked at a restaurant, they often felt they were projects.
Yeah.
But they didn't feel this love. It was kind of like, we want to get your soul saved.
Yeah.
Now, that could have been their own problem. But a lot of that is how we, if we really are coming from this place of the Father, you know, is loving us.
Yeah.
And we're loving people. The Father's loving people through us,
through
you know. And Paul wrote to the Romans, in the Romans church in Romans 12, and he said, let your love be without hypocrisy.
Yeah, I like that.
He said, don't just pretend to love people. Really love them. And so what do we can't grit our teeth and try to love. It's releasing our hearts to the Father, allowing his love to flow through us, and seeing people as God sees them.
Exactly.
You know, and honoring them.
Exactly. If Philippians 2 says it like this, then make my joy complete, Paul says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and with one mind. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. I'll say that again. Rather, in humility, mm-hmm. value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, mm-hmm. but each of you to the interests of others. Mm-hmm. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset mm-hmm. as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing mm-hmm. by taking the very nature it's of powerful. A servant, yeah. powerful, being made in human likeness. So a true leader, we're talking about leadership, leadership podcast, a leadership book, a true leader's main goal is not to preserve his life mm-hmm. or her life or our lives or position, is to advance the kingdom of mm-hmm. God. So we want to see others prosper. True leadership is releasing other people. True leadership is people work with us for years and then they feel called to do something else. We release them and bless them rather than try to hold them back. Why? That's what true love is. That's what Jesus did. You know, he said, I'm going to the Father. You can do greater works. So it's not the building of our business or our ministry that should consume us, but it's the advancing of the mm-hmm. kingdom of God. Remember Floyd McClung years ago, he's now with the Lord, and he made a statement once that I thought was so powerful, really helped me. He said, I can tell when I've lost my passion for Jesus, when I make decisions based upon what it will cost me versus the glory that Christ will receive. And I thought, that's spoken to me many, many times. I thought, you know, that is so true. We make decisions. Will the result of this decision bring glory to Christ or make it easier for me? Love and loyalty and faithfulness really go hand in hand. Obviously, love we're talking about here, and we're going to take a few more minutes on this, but then loyalty, you know, you need all three of these. Love, loyalty, and faithfulness. For example, we can have a dog that's loyal, a family dog that's loyal to us, but if a thief comes in our house and that dog, you know, is friendly to the thief, loyal to the thief, there's a problem. Yeah. Okay. So love, loyalty, and faithfulness must go hand to hand. Why do I show that? Because I believe that strong churches and strong businesses and strong, you know, whatever community organizations or whatever are made up of a group of people who genuinely love each other and they love those they serve and who loyally will fight together to see God's kingdom advance in whatever realm or, you know, that the Lord has given them. So the enemy will attack, but the question is, can we remain steadfast and loyal and love others unconditionally when the pressure's on?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this gets where the rubber meets the road is in our own marriages, isn't it? Our own lives. But yeah. For those of us that are married, we're married, what, almost 53 years?
We are, Laverne. We are.
This fall, autumn.
It's getting better and better.
Yeah. And but we don't always wake up in the morning feeling, oh, you know, I just love you. I don't have all those wonderful, giddy feelings. But the love that we have for each other it just gets deeper.
It's a deep love.
Because mm-hmm. it's a love of where we've made commitments to one another.
Yeah.
We've chosen to speak life to one another. We've chosen to work through things, yep. you know, with one another, and hear each other's hearts. Validates each other's emotions, you know.
Right.
And
recognize we're made differently. Yeah, God's wired us differently, and that's okay. We see things differently. Even as we teach, you know, as we're going through these 21 tests of leadership, you have a perspective that I don't have.
Yes,
And I have a perspective that you don't have, but together we can come closer to God's perspective.
And we honor one another.
We do, in the whole process, yeah.
And we choose love, you know, in all circumstances, we choose love.
And I know most of us know this, but I mean, really, when you get down to it, love is not a feeling. Love is a gift from God. It's Christ in us, his love. And love is a decision we make that we're going to let the love of Christ flow through us rather than just living by how we feel at that time. And so I'm going to just share one more thing here, but I wanted to mention to you, make sure you check out the show notes. If you're interested in the book, The 21 Tests of Leadership, you can get that on Amazon or wherever you buy books or the Dove International Bookstore. And I wanted to mention that. Some other things on there that you'll want to make sure you check out. But I do want to share this in closing, then Laverne, anything else you have. And that is this. I learned from a friend, Bob Mumford. I say a friend, an acquaintance, many, many years ago. Bob Mumford, something that was life-changing for me. He said, in the scriptures, the word love is, in the Greek, different words. We have one word, love. So he said, like phileo. Well, that love means brother love, just your friendship. We're friends. You know, I love my friend. Okay, that's love. It's love. I mean, it's not the kind of love we're talking about here. He said, the second is eros. That eros would be, the word erotic comes from that. It's not just sexual. It's loving to get something back. It's getting something selfishly back for us. That's a type of love. So there's a third kind of love that we're talking about here. We mentioned already the agape love, which truly is giving with no expectancy of return. And the way he explained it, and I wish you could all, I wish I had a whiteboard here to show you, but he wrote on a board. He said, okay, there's phileo, and he wrote all these three kinds of love. And then he said, there's agape. He said, agape is like an arrow, and the arrow goes from left to right, and it just goes on to infinity. It's just, I love you because I love you because I love you. I don't expect anything back. He said, eros, that love is love. There's an arrow, but then it turns and comes back. It's like has a hook on. It's like, I'll love you for what you can give me. I'll love you for, you know, so I can get something from it. And he says, no, the love of Christ in us and the love that God's called us to pass the test is understanding agape love, where God the Father gave his son. Jesus came and gave us his life with no expectancy of return. He went to the cross, whether we follow him or not. And that's the kind of love, and really, this is for leadership, yes, but it's for everyone. Mm-hmm. This is really just for life. Yes. We're called to be those who walk in the love of Christ. And do we mess up? Of course we mess up. But that's why Jesus went to the cross. He loved us, and we confess our faults. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's why we can walk in the love of Christ.
Yes, and we need a revelation of his love, really. Yeah. I remember Henry Nouwen, who wrote the book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, said that most of his life he heard the voice, you know, achieve, get ahead, you know, and he wrote many books, and, you know, he was this amazing Christian writer. He taught at Yale and Harvard, but he said it was his latter years that he heard the Lord say, Henry, you're loved unconditionally, and you don't have to prove a thing.
That's so good.
That's a real key, isn't it? Yeah, it's just that receiving that revelation of the Father's love so that we can love others.
Exactly.
And I remember another story was David Wilkerson had a girl come to him, and she said, Davey, I don't feel any love. I just don't have any love. And he said, okay, here's an address. Mm-hmm. And he gave her an address of someone in New York City. You go and you knock at the door and you ask them what you can do. And she knocked at the door. There was a widow and she had a couple children. And she served that girl. That mother all day, and she came back and she said, my heart is so filled with love, you know. And so there was this place of we're taking steps to just love on people, and it's not just for us, it's for helping and loving and serving others.
And sometimes love is an action, and that's a good example of that. I guess a good place for us to close today. As you've been listening to this podcast, you're thinking, man, I need help in this area of my life. I would sort of pray for you right now. Mm-hmm. We want to agree with you that the love of Christ would come through your life and in ways you've never experienced before to help you be the lover, so to speak, filled with God's love that Jesus called you to be. Father, in Jesus' name, we agree together with our friends, Father. Lord, throughout the many nations of the world listening to this podcast. And Lord God, may we have grace from heaven to pass, Lord God, this test of love. Lord God, we're flying colors, so to speak, because we have a fresh revelation. We are loved by the Father. There's nothing we could ever do that would make him love us more or love us less. We're just loved by him. And your word says that so clearly. Our God loved the world so much, he sent his son, Jesus. And because of that, Lord, the love of Christ is in us, will flow through us, and you will be honored and glorified. And I pray for grace on everyone in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today for the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast as we continue to walk through these 21 tests of leadership. And again, check out the show notes at the end, and we'll look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.